Praise his name. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, yet again we have an opportunity to come. And we are appreciative, Father, how your Lord, your word comes forth and it checks our hearts. And Lord, it allows us to have a true measuring stick to check up by and to see, Father, are we short? Is there something in our lives we can tighten up and draw closer to you? Oh, Father, I know I see shortness in my heart and my life. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless each and every one of us. Lord, truly may we not be foolish enough to measure ourselves by ourselves, but Lord, by your word. And Father, have that desire in our heart to draw closer to you, to overcome anything that stands between us. Lord, have your way. Bless us now, each and every one that's gathered here tonight. Strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, and meet our individual needs that we have. We thank you, Lord, and we ask all this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me, I'd like, if you would, in our big books. I'd like to start on page 261. Amen. Just a little while. Amen. Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey. Be at home again with friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, all the beauties there.
Heaven's portal, sweet.
Coming soon. Page 161. Let's try that song. Amen. The day of redemption. Drawing near. Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered. With horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, her national lifelong dethroned. Today she is calling, her ladder rings falling, return, old is first to your own. The day of redemption is near. Hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. Oh, the day of redemption is near. Oh, men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Redemption is near. Amen. Let's try on page 536, it looks like. And we'll need help on this one. Not very good at it. Amen. Praise his name. Manifesting time. I think enough people can help me through it. Let's start with the chorus. It's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Hold the cap, God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes. Sweeping over the mountains, over the hills he runs. I long to hear his voice, I long to hear him say, arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Oh, it's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, the cap, God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. The grapes are yours and mine, little foxes spoil the vine. For the vineyard blossom forth her harvest time. Keep your eyes on things above, don't look at me or you. See that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, it's manifesting time. The fruit is on the vine, and the lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, the cap, God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. In the cleft of the rock, in the secret place so high, feel the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Oh, in that mountain place, a sweet smell's coming through. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Oh, it's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, the cap, God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Amen. It's truly manifesting time. Amen. To see that life coming forth. Oh, what a day we live in, saints. Amen. He's wonderful. Amen. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Amen. Praise his name. That's the blessing, if you will. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my life. Amen. Sing it to me. And oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past. Made wants to see him. Amen. Do you have a request for him? Something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we Bow our heads. Brother Jim, would you like to take the request?
Lord God, thank you for another opportunity to be here. Yes, Lord, the same privilege to be you with our fellow brothers and sisters.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we ask for guidance each day, Lord. I see where I have room to climb, Lord. I pray each day, Lord, make it more like you, Lord. And Father, we ask now that you would bless each and one of us. Guide them and direct them now, Lord. Let everything be done for your glory. In Jesus Christ we ask.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would someone have a song in the congregation? Praise his name. Right. Have you got one? 573? Okay. Amen. Let's try that. Hallelujah. 573. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. Amen. Soon shall behold his face, amen. With him to receive my city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Sing it loud, amen. Sing it again. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. Of every race shall behold his face. With him we enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. What a lovely name. Sing it again. Amen. Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name. Oh, soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Saints of every race shall behold his face. With him he'll enter heaven's city, ever to acclaim. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No, you never praise and worship that name enough. Amen. I'll just call it, whisper it. Have needs, have problems. He's right there. What a promise. Amen. Praise his name. Let's stand together if you like. Sing a little chorus, only believe, and ask our brother to come. Oh,
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we appreciate from the depths of our heart this little opportunity you've given us again this evening. And Lord, we realize that again we've come in here this evening to let the Word of God, Lord Jesus, go into our hearts and to clean out anything, Lord, that isn't what you want it to be. And we realize too, Lord, it's getting down to the end of time. Lord, where we're just maybe a few days left, we don't know. But Lord Jesus, let us be ready, regardless what day it'll be. May that be a love that's in our heart, Lord, as your scripture said, that there'd be a people that would love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may there be a love overpower us and take our lives completely over. The Lord Jesus, knowing this world is not our home. Oh, God, we're going to a greater, much better place, Lord, than this. And Father, may you, by the Holy Spirit, bring it in view to our hearts and in our lives, Lord, that we'll show that that's what we're interested in, to seek first the kingdom. Oh, God, in your righteousness, making sure, Lord, everything's done the way you want it done. Bless us now as again we gathered in here and wait upon you now to speak to our hearts. And we'll give you our most undivided attention that, Lord, you'd have your way now. In your precious name, we ask these things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't it amen to his word? Amen. He's so wonderful. All right, let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me, to 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter. We want to continue on where we was at this morning. Amen. Speaking about this life to be made manifest in a body today. Oh, how exciting it is. Amen. Glory. People have longed for this. They've wanted it. They've seen it there, and they've tried to reach it, but by God's grace, we're going to make it. Amen. Amen. If we'll just do what he says. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, and let's begin at the 8th verse. Listen to Apostle Paul now. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. May God bless reading His Word. Again, you may be seated. I think all of us sitting here know what our mortal flesh is. Yeah, it's see, taste, feel, smell, and hears. And we've got a spirit, a human spirit. We have imagination, affection, reasoning, conscience, memory. And we all have a soul. And trusting that every one of us sitting here today was born with two. Yeah. Born with two of them. And trusting that everyone sitting here has had one already destroyed by the Holy Ghost fire. That worldly nature that we were born with. And now the nature of God living and expressing through these bodies of flesh. And that's what we have been sent here for in this hour, in the day in which we live. Yes, all this corruption that's going on around us in the world we have to live in today, as the Scripture says, we are in it. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And may we truly see that in our life, that yes, we're here, but for a short time we're here. And be as also Paul in the book of Hebrews said, we are as pilgrims and strangers journeying this land. Just a short time. Just a very short time. You know, sometimes, and there was points in my life, I used to think, you know, wow, I got a long life ahead of me. You know, when I was young, and I, you know, you had a lot of plans in life, and you thought, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that. And then there was that point in life when I was young, too, and I thought, I'll never see it. It seems like it would take forever to get there. And now that you're getting older, and I know each one of you older ones that's sitting here, I know you can look back now and you think, where did it go to? You know, and then you can begin to see more of a reality. As what James said, this life is like a vapor. You know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. And it's truly that way. You know, here we've took and passed another week by since just last Sunday. Another complete cycle of a week has went by. And I think how quickly that went. And I thought, Lord, how much did I mature? As I spoke about this morning, and the prophet spoke about this being mature sons and daughters of God. How much more did I mature since last Sunday to this Sunday? You know, and then if He should, not saying He will, but if He should tarry till next Sunday, how much more will I mature from this point till next Sunday? You know? Now God knows this. And He knows what we are as receivers sitting here this evening. He knows what it is that we are interested in as He's got His little mouthpiece up there exhorting upon His Word. You know, again, through the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men are saved. So we find He's got a little mouthpiece, stands behind a pulpit, and now they're going to hear the Word of God again, have it exhorted to them, have their minds renewed, and stir their pure minds to the way of remembrance. And what will it do? How much ground is going to be gained so that if He does tarry by next Sunday, how much more mature will I be? Or will I just remain the same? One thing about it in this life, friends, I want you to think about it. And I want you to see it more and more as each day goes by. If you don't climb higher by tomorrow, you didn't sit still. You went backwards. Because we're in the last few moments of time. And that's why He said redeem the time. Rescue it. Rescue what time you've got. And you make sure every minute of your life is being applied for the purpose God sent you here for. You see? So we will not be able to call back this Sunday as we cannot already recall back last Sunday and try to bring it back and try to go back and pick up and make it everything turn out right for this past week that went by. No, you and I already manifested exactly what we're receiving, what we believe, where our trust is at, what revelation we have. We've done manifested now between last Sunday and this Sunday what was in our life. Now, the thing of it is, again, as I said, if the Lord should tarry till next Sunday, we're going to manifest from this time right now what word came forth, whether we received anything that would cause us to mature greater in Christ, or whether we'll get further behind from this point till next Sunday. So what am I going to manifest now in this week coming, if the Lord should tarry? What am I going to manifest? Will anybody passing by see me or you maybe get angry? Will they see me cheat somebody? Will they see me be a sluggard, lazy? Will they see me break Caesar's laws just nonchalantly with no care attitude? Will they see me acting as a fool, joking and cutting up constantly? Yeah. Will they see me doing these things, or will they see something in my life that will prove that Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday and shall be forever? Will my associates I work with, will your husband that you spend this week coming with, if he should tarry, if your husband lives, if you live, will they be able to see in you the literal life of Jesus Christ on display? I'm just asking these things because it has to be. We're going to put it this way. You can't go another week without the literal life of Jesus Christ on display. You can't go another week. No. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Steve? Well, as though it may seem not a real reality, but there will come a day that it will be a reality that the Lord Jesus will appear. And there'll be no time to come back to that week before and bring it back and try to make it better.
Amen.
It'll be gone. And what I am today, the prophet said, is what I'll be there. If I'm a doubter of God's word here, I'll be a doubter of God's word there. Is that right? Did he say that?
Amen.
Yeah. He said, don't worry, you won't be there. But just remember, you're not going to be able to go back to past week and roll it back and try to get it straightened up. No. That's why now this week, the literal life of Jesus Christ has got to be on display. Because I don't know, but he may come Saturday morning. He may come next Friday morning. He may come tomorrow morning. That we do not know. Then we can sit here with the attitude, well, Brother Steve, I've been hearing this thing for years. When is he going to come? We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know that it's getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everything he said is coming in just like he said it would. It's all coming together and gelling together to the exact point he said. So yeah, one of these days we'll gather in here, and old Brother Steve, or maybe Brother Timothy, or you may hear some other ministers say, the Lord Jesus is about ready to appear. And one day, it's going to happen. Just like it's been said, it's clear back years ago, when God showed the prophet the vision of California going under, it's going to go under.
Amen.
Yeah. Look how they're always showing things now, constantly. It's building up to momentum now. And now they keep pointing this, that, and this is coming together. And it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. It's amazing they're just now finding this out. When God told us a long time ago it was going to happen. Yeah. Of course, people's heard it for years. So they can become hardened to it. Yeah. They don't care. They don't think it'll ever happen. They don't think it'll happen in their lifetime. And maybe it won't. But I believe it won't be too much longer.
Amen.
Yeah. I hope I live to see it. Right? I hope I live long enough to go in the rapture, to be caught up in a moment, twinkling of an eye, this body be changed from mortal to immortal. Yeah. To a glorified body. Oh, my. So how real is this? Now, see, Paul, he had a revelation here that of this life of Christ in His body. This mortal flesh, the very life of Jesus Christ on display. We've heard it, some of us has heard it preached for years. We've heard it talked about. But yet, to how many has it really become a reality? Because remember, I'll read it again because I want you to be refreshed to it. What I read to you this morning, out of there is a man that can turn on the light. Paragraph 74. So life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. That's why it's so simple and easy to see that if I do not hold to that scripture and do what the Word says, and it isn't in my life, that others can see it made manifest, and my personal self maybe couldn't see it manifest, or you and to yourself see it made manifest, then you know the life isn't there. Because His Word is life. All right, so we realize it's got to be made manifest in order to be life. If it just remains in this Bible, or just remains in these prophets' books, it's not life to you. But to someone it is, because God predestinated people. You see, to someone somewhere, it'll be life. The life will be made manifest. All right, the Word of God will come alive in their life, and you'll see them holding to that Word 100%. Line upon line, precept upon precept, they'll be receiving that Word, and as they receive the Word, they'll become that Word. That's why it's such a tremendous thing to have the Word pick on us, if you want to think of it that way. Pick on us. Pick out all the things that's in our life that's wrong. Remember, Apostle Paul said he preached of the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Amen.
You ever think about that? Let me show you something Brother Bram said about that one time. I think I brought that with me. Yeah, this is in the super sign. Actually, I was reading out of this today, but a different place. He says here, this is a super sign, November 29, 1963, paragraph 188. Watch what the Bible said. What is the super sign? It is the Word made manifest in every age. Is that right? Well, why couldn't they believe Jesus? Now, here was Jesus manifesting the Word in human flesh. Right in front of them. And they couldn't recognize it. Why couldn't they believe Jesus? When Hebrews 4 said that the Word of God is quicker, more powerful than a two-edged sword, cutting asunder. That is when it's preached in its power. Oh, when it's cutting. Yeah, it's chopping. Going to the marrow of the bone. That's when it's preached in its power. It cuts right and left, two-edged cuts both ways. What is it? Cuts plumb to the marrow of the bone. And what else does it do? It discerns the thoughts that's in the heart. Oh. That's why oftentimes we sit here and may think, well, how does he know what I did? But that's what I had trouble with. Just always remember, God knows exactly everything you're doing. And the Word of God is sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword. It'll cut, and it'll cut right to the marrow of the bone. And it's even the discerner of the hearts. He knows your thoughts. Amen. He knows your thoughts as you're sitting here. And we may sit here oftentimes and think, the preacher don't know nothing about this going on, but just, again, let me remind you, God knows what's going on. Yeah. And the preacher may not know what's going on, but the Holy Ghost knows what's going on. And oftentimes the preacher will get done preaching and wonder, why in the world did I go back to that route? Why in the world did I do this? Why in the world did I say that? But you've got to remember, if it's God's true fivefold ministry standing there and His true Holy Ghost anointing and the Holy Spirit speaking to the people, it's He that's the discerner of the thoughts. Amen. Not the preacher. It's He, God, the Holy Ghost, the discerner of the thoughts. Amen. If Brother Branham, when he stood there and he seen visions and he began to discern the thoughts of people's hearts and discern of all these different things people was doing and they was into, that wasn't him. That was God doing that through him. You see? But people think, oh, the preacher, he don't know nothing about me. I don't have no worries. But you better worry because God knows everything. You see? And you may wonder, well, why is he cutting at me like that? He doesn't know I did that. He may not. But God does. You see? So we find here again, we're talking about life. And this has all got to do with life. Oh, yes, it does. Every bit of it does. The literal life of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go on here. Let me go back to this one here. He says here in this, if you want to turn with me, 2 Peter and 1st chapter. Let's read this before we go on. 2 Peter and the 1st chapter and begin to 1st verse. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, beginning to 1st verse. All right? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be multiplied. Now I want you to think about this, what we're moving into here. Look at the grace and peace that's multiplied in our lives if we can look and see the Word of God made manifest in these tabernacles of flesh. Talk about grace and peace. But now if it ain't, oh my, we'd better be worried. Yeah. But if you see it coming into your body and bringing this body under subjection to the Word, grace and peace be multiplied into you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of knowing these things of God. See? Look how many don't know these things. Look how many don't truly know and have a revelation that the Word of God, life comes by the Word of God made manifest. Now we sitting here and we think, oh, praise God, you just read that this morning again. You renewed our minds back to it. That still don't mean you know it. It's got to be revealed to you. Okay? But grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. He's given us all things that pertain unto life. Think about what he's done to give us all things that pertain to life. The predestinated. To start with, you was in the thoughts of God before there was a moon or a star. And the thoughts of God are eternal. Is that right? There's number one. Ding. Now, when he sent you here on this earth in this day and age in which you live, he placed a part of himself within you. Oh, my. The very nature of himself. Oh, that's life, isn't it? Eternal life, is it not? Absolutely. That soul, that gene, that seed, whatever you want to call it, of God, he placed in your life. He give us all things that pertain unto life. Then he not only stopped there, but when we were born down here in this world in sin and corruption, and that seed laid within us, then came a time that he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he destroys, the Holy Ghost fire destroys that worldly nature you was born with. Life! Is that right? Absolutely. Then he feeds us the Word of God. Life! Is that right? He gives us all things that pertain unto life. Then how can it fail? It can no more fail than that Red Sea had to open, and it opened. It's the same God that opened that sea that's going to bring his body under subjection. And that same God that's bringing this body under subjection is the same one that's going to change it from mortal to immortal. Hallelujah. He's never failed. Hallelujah. Let's go on. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Ah, he puts that in there, godliness. I'm sure we all know what godliness is, don't we? To be like God. Wow, you mean us be like God? You mean me in this human flesh, I got to be like God? Absolutely, you're lost. That's why he's got to get a hold of you and turn things around so that it will be like God. So we won't be out here doing these things wrong that we're doing wrong. Yeah, because when we do these things wrong, that's contrary to the Scripture, I'm not being like God. Who is God? The Word. St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. So here we are now. We've got to be like that? That godliness, to be like God? Absolutely. Oh, my. And people think they're going to slop their way through this, friend. They're going to slop their way through, they think, without desire burning fervently on, white hot for the Lord Jesus Christ, dedicating their life to the Lord and being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're going to slop their way through without any of that. It'll never happen. Pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these you might be partakers. Oh my. Now, partakers in the original Greek is partners or sharers. You share it with him or companion with him. My. You might be partakers of the divine. Only God is divine. The divine nature. Be companion in partnership with God's nature. Tell me this people that's got that, tell me they ain't going to be overcomers. Oh, yes, they are. You tell me all these things people are doing throughout the land today and saying they believe this message. You tell me God ain't great enough to clean that out of their lives and be godly in everything. And to live by every word that proceeds in the mouth of God. Ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And my, don't take long to look around and see all the corruption that is in this world through lust. It's all over the place, you see. I'm going to go on where we left off this morning. It's in the token. We preached September 1st. When we, paragraph 349. When we pray, then we must present a token. Lord, I have obeyed you fully. Again, as I said this morning, have we reached that place to obey him fully? Huh? Can you even for a minute begin to think of all the word that's in this Bible? No, we may not be able to sit here and think and be able to call off everything that's in this Bible that must be lived in our life. But every time we open it up, can I measure myself up by what he said, and is it living in my life? Is it living in your life? Or is it everything but just a jealous spirit? You have a jealousy in your life. You're jealous because somebody else may have something in a little better way that you've got, that you don't have, and you get jealous. Huh? Or you might be somebody that just plain thinks everybody else is wrong but me. So then when people see me do something and circumstances come up, I shrug my nose up and I give them an attitude. Huh? Instead of having loving, kindness, forgiveness, being long-suffering, gentle, and all these other things that's supposed to be. Amen. God knows all about all these things. You know, it's easy to think in our minds that, well, God sees me when what I'm wearing, you know. We think in a little different form and a way sometimes when we think of that. Well, I wouldn't wear that because God would see me. But sometimes people get this problem, they got this problem, and they think in their minds, nobody knows I'm thinking this. Nobody sees me. But you got to remember again, he searcheth the reins. He knows our hearts. So God does see it. You see? So he knows your attitude. How your attitude is toward his word. The prophet showed us. He knows our attitude. He knows what we think about it. He knows what you think about me when I'm up here presenting his word. Not my word, his word. He knows what you think about me. He knows whether, Brother Steve's getting a little bit of fanaticism. There's a lot of other preachers ain't like that. One thing about it, friends, I hope I'm never, never, never like a lot of preachers in this message.
Amen.
Yeah. I hope I'm not like hardly any of them. Because very few want to stay with that word. Very few. They're more concerned about their pocketbook. They're more concerned about keeping the women satisfied so they don't leave. Because they know if the women leave, then the husband leaves, and they lose families. They don't want to get a little bit too hard because they're afraid people will leave. They don't want to get people to think they are fanatic. So they'll just take it easy and let sin come in the door and let sin have its way. Yeah. I don't want to be like them men. I want to be like old John the Baptist.
Amen.
That he stood up to that king and said, you have no right to have that woman for your wife. No right whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He knew it would cost him, but he told the truth anyway.
Amen.
Paul knew, and he came to the point in his life that he knew it was going to cost him. They was hunting him down like a wild animal, trying to kill him. But he was not afraid to stand with boldness and proclaim the word of God. Yeah. Just like any of the other men that would stand. Could you even Moses himself, when he stood before Pharaoh, do you realize what he would have probably been thinking, what it was going to cost him? It cost him all that fine luxury he was living in. Yeah. But he knew God called him for a purpose and he had to fulfill it. He wasn't afraid of numbers. He wasn't afraid of what people was going to think about him. He just stayed true to that word.
Amen.
You as an individual has got to stand that way. You can't worry about what people's going to think of you. You better be worried of one thing. What does the Lord Jesus Christ see in me?
Amen.
That's what you better be worried about. But so many people are worried about their family. Their family. Well, if I would believe this way, my family would leave me. You don't want to ask Brother Steve what he thinks. Let my family leave me. Yeah. God sent me into this world, and I was born in this world by his calling and choosing, not by my family's choosing. No. But can we be that way? Can we be as the way Jesus spoke of in many things in the scripture that he spoke of? Those that he had to go back and look at his oxen and make sure they was in good shape and they was a working order and he wanted to observe them because there was this nice set of oxen he got. And he told Jesus, I'm going to take care of this first and then I'll be back. That man wasn't worthy of the kingdom. Because he just wanted to go back. Well, if we put our hand to the plow and then start looking back? No, still ain't worthy. God wants you completely. He wants everything in your life that you are without any reserve. But people's got a lot of reserves today.
Amen.
They got jobs as a reserve. They got families as a reserve. They got maybe an automobile as a reserve. All kinds of things as reserves because they don't want to pay any kind of a price to get this, what God has today. What is your pearl of great price? Huh? What does this mean to you? Do you see that you have to have this life in you? And if I'm going to have this life, then I'm going to have to be getting that word that gets me to that life. Is it right? All right. Absolutely. Then I better make sure I do everything God wants me to do because I only got one round around. One time around is all I got. I can't come back and get last week, as I said. I got to take today. Because today may be my last one. When I walk out of this building, I'm going to make sure I'm right with God and God's got the preeminence of my life. Amen. But you know, people don't have that kind of burning in their heart anymore. Not like they used to. As I told you, I was just a little lad, friend. 5 years old. And cry just about every service at the altar, wanting what them grown-ups had at that time. God moving in their life and speaking in tongues and everything, and the Holy Ghost moving. Yeah. I wanted that in my life. Yeah. And I would cry for it. And a little feller like that walking around talking to the Lord, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Give me that, what people's got, what you're doing to people's lives. Give me that, Lord. Today, grown-ups can see the height that God is requiring and they don't even think about it half the time. To them, it's just life to be called a Christian, whether there's any life there or not. But God is requiring life today. His personal, identified, literal life in you, in your mortal flesh. He's requiring that. Where are we? How much do we want this? How much of a longing's in my heart? But do you know what another problem is today? I'm always telling you what a lot of problems going on today. But everything I'm telling you it's a problem today is absolutely the truth. Amen. Another problem we have today, Satan has deceived people in thinking they're Christians. They got a little chill that went down their back. They had some preacher pray for them sometime or another. They can intellectually sit there and listen to the Word of God and, amen, I believe that. Glory to God, I understand that intellectually. And they think they're Christian. But you can't see the life. Because the overcoming isn't there. They still get their feelings hurt. They think somebody said something to them, as I've said many times in the pulpit. They think somebody said something about them, and they didn't even hear the thing right. So they get their feelings hurt. And then they sit around and pout and boo-hoo around and want people to feel sorry for them. Or nobody loves me. If I worried about that all my life, I'd be in sad shape. Every day, just about every day, I face it. Yeah. What people think about me. Yeah. What a low life I am. Yeah. Because I don't hold to their doctrines and their creeds that their men have set together. If I let that get to me, I'd be in serious trouble. I say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. But how are you on your personal feelings? Huh? Does your love suffer long? Are you kind? Are you gentle? Huh? Look at the people in this message that vaunt themselves. It's all puffed up and self-righteousness. So self-righteous that they can do no wrong. Me? I didn't do no wrong. I'm a believer. You didn't. Just broke the word by believing that way in your mind, in your heart, thinking that way.
Amen.
Yeah. Saints, I want to get at least one point across tonight, but I'm out of time already. I got a lot here to read. But to cut it a little bit short, it's got to be every word manifested. But as much as I love you, I got to tell you, if it ain't all of it and you don't think it has to be all of it, you have no life in you. None. And you'll be lost. Yes, and hell is real. Hell is real. Oh, yeah. There will be people that may burn for 1,000 years but to one day be consumed. Hell is real. And it will hurt. Because God said it will be licks of fire. And fire hurts, friends. If we ain't been burnt for a while. I don't know about you, but fire, a burn from a fire, is so painful. It just doesn't even compare to a cut. No. It's very painful. And it just seems like there's nothing there to really give you relief. I feel sorry for these people who get burnt 90% of their body and things. How can they stand it? Of course, they drug them up on morphine so high that they don't know where they're at. But even times you hear people testify that never even touched it. The morphine didn't. My. And to think to be thrown in a lake of fire. Oh, my. What terribleness that's going to be. But it's going to happen. It's real. But it is real, too, that the life Christ will be made manifest in people. Amen. Everywhere. Amen. Every word. Amen. It'll be alive. It'll be a reality. There won't be a thing in your life seeing you overlooking sin and taking up for sin, thinking sin's funny. People that you know they're doing wrong, and they know they're doing wrong. It's iniquity, and you're rejoicing in it. You think it's funny? Oh, my. How many times we thought it was funny, people in sin, and they know it was wrong what they was doing. They've done it anyhow, and you think it's funny. But love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. But Steve, maybe I better read my Bible again. Yeah, I think we all ought to. It'd probably be a very good thing to sit down and begin to read our Bible and study it. Amen. And not just sit there and read, see how many pages I can get read before I go to work. So I can get it done and say, I read the Bible. But if you only read one sentence a day and make sure you know what that one sentence is in your life, it's better than not reading at all, friends. Oh my. But it's gotten to the point, you know, people take the messages the prophet brought. They just throw the Bible aside. You show me where any place where Brother Branham ever said lay that Bible aside and just listen to me only. No. He was constantly telling us to go back to that scripture. Go to that word. So we should have that and the messages. Yeah. But don't you ever take that Bible as nothing anymore because the prophet came. You better take and hold on to that too, because that's what the prophet was talking about. Amen. Right there. Yeah. But a lot of people get this attitude. Well, praise God, I don't need that Bible no more, so I'm just going to read the messages. But look at all the word they miss by not going back and renewing their mind. Amen. Huh? And sometimes you can bring things back to people's minds. Why don't you sisters come in, sisters? And they'll say, I never even thought about that being in the Bible. Or I forgot about it. How could it be forgotten? Now you might first sit there and think, Brother Steve, well, I'm not as smart as you. I'm going to tell you, I ain't very smart at all. I told you that before, and you know I'm not. But I can tell you what the scripture says. When he which is the comforter shall come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. It's the comforter there. I didn't know that was wrong, Brother Steve. I didn't know. Well, you better be finding out. Yeah. Yeah. And every time we come in those doors, we're finding out exactly what God wants done. Amen. Every time. Yes. One thing about it, I know this is the will and the word of God. Because Satan would never want these things spoken. No. He don't want you drawn closer to God. He wants you further away from God. He wants the preacher up here saying, God doesn't mean that. You don't have to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's impossible in this day. My, this is 2017, and we got families, we got jobs. And, you know, it just don't work for today. That's what Satan would want. But I'm going to tell you, it has to work for today. And it has to be for today. And you have to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if we got the attitude that, oh, Brother Steve, I preach your so-and-so down the road. I've known him for years, and I trust his word. He said, there's no way you can live by every word of God. You just might as well not even think about it, Brother Steve. And you ought to learn that too, brother. It ain't going to happen. Satan, get behind me. God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, God has to do that. Through you. You can't do it. This is a life you cannot live in yourself. I read it today. If you was listening. Yeah. You can't live it yourself. That's why we need God in our life. Yeah. Then, when we see that life come into the body, amen, this word lived. Amen, obeyed. Amen, obeyed. Amen, obeyed. When we see that life come into the body, amen, we know the rapture is just around the corner. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to change. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to get you to. By God's grace, we'll pick it up again Thursday evening if the Lord should tarry. But friends, let's be hungry. Don't miss this. Oh, don't miss it.
Amen.
Oh, my. And I encourage you, if you can't be here, make sure you listen to these messages. Don't think about Brother Steve. I want you to think about the word that I'm giving you.
Amen.
You make sure you get it. Yes. I hope Brother Geisinger's getting it. Can't be here. He ain't been here for weeks. I hope he's getting it. I hope he's holding that dear to his heart. It's life! To get him ready for a rapture. Oh my. If you can't be here, friends, get it. Somehow. Somehow. Oh my. Oh my. For we're growing, maturing in Christ. We've got to have it. We've got to. Oh my. Oh, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Let us all stand. Precious Lord, amen. A little song I want to sing, if I can find it here. Yes, there it is. You are my all in all. Page 8 in the little loose leaf ones there. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are
my all.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb. Sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. Oh, many times. Hallelujah. Up. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You know, I can't help but to think, even myself down over the years, how he says here, taking my sin, my cross, and my shame. I know many times I've been ashamed of the Lord. I've shamed Him. I've been a terrible sight before God. But I think of the times He's lifted me back up. Amen. And set my feet on a rock to stay.
Amen.
You are my all in all. When I fall down, I don't suppose there's one of us in there that hasn't fallen down. I've fallen down many times.
Amen.
But He lifted me back up. So I'm not through with you. Come up and rise back up.
Amen.
Just put your hand in mine, and I'll lead you. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, many times in life, I'm sure we all have been dry. Walk through those doors and be as dry as can be. How concerned about what God really wanted us to do, or how He wanted to live through us. Very dry. But when we were dry, He filled us up. You are my all in all. Is He your all? Oh, if He isn't right now, then make Him your all in all right now, before you leave. Make Him that point in your life right now. Don't pass another day by. It may be your last chance. God. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel. Have you ever thought about giving up? Has there been a time in your life you thought about giving up? What's the use? I can't do it. That's what He's telling you today. You can't do it. But He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. He's done it before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So to give up, I would be a fool. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, oh precious Lord, You're so sweet. You're so precious. Lord, we realize that to hear these messages, it's not easy on the flesh. And it may seem to be grievous at the time. But Lord, You said, and You promised, that it would yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. Oh God, You know every man and woman and young person that's standing here with me tonight. You know all about our lives. You know, Lord, that you've had to pick us all up. You've had to restore us. We were dry many times. But then you always lovingly and forgiving. You always want to refill us. I don't know how to say it, Lord. But I can't express how precious you are, Lord, in being that way. When, Lord, you are the great I am, by you all things were created. Why, Lord? Why would you even, we can think of it in a way, Lord, sometime, why would you even waste your time on us? We have been such a failure. All in our own eyes, many times we think we're so good. We think we've done such a good job. But Lord, when we stand up to your word, we see how low we've been. But again, Lord, love comes by and lifts up out of miry clay and sets our feet on a rock to stay. What love, what mercy, what grace. Lord, work on every heart here. Remold us. Take all the hardness out of our heart. All the self-righteous. All the things we think everything's okay. And remake us, Lord. Remold me. You're the great potter. We are just the clay. Make me, Lord, what you want me to be. Make each and every one of us, Lord, every one of these young people, make them what you want them to be. May their lives be set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be examples to their parents. May their parents see Jesus Christ is alive. It's true. It's true. Everything they heard the prophets say, it's true. Somebody does have life. Because somebody is manifesting. Oh God, may they see it. May every man, woman, and child see it in every one of our lives. Lord, when we see this life come into the body, oh no, it's just about over with. Time will be no more, but we'll enter into eternity where there is no time. And gather around that great supper table. Oh God, and I'm sure, Lord, every one of us, you'll be wiping the tears from our eyes. Because we know, and we'll always know, that it was grace that brought us to sit us around your table and to feast with you throughout eternity. It was grace. Grace, marvelous grace. Oh God, how great thou art. Thank you, Lord. Go with us in a special way, Lord. If nothing else, Lord, do it for me. Do it for me. Go with us in a special way. Keep pulling on our heartstrings. Stir such a love in our hearts to serve you and to obey you and do everything you want. I ask it in the greatest name that there ever was and ever shall be. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So be it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, Jesus. God bless you. God be with you and protect you as you travel. And keep Him always before you.
Amen.
That you sin not against Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Dismiss. Yes. Amen.
That before that rapture comes, He's going to make sure that each and every one of us are ready.
Amen.
Stand before Him righteous.
Amen.
But it brought a reproach on the church because I've been serving the Lord for a little over 2 years now. And I never made an attempt. I kept thinking I'd save the money up and pay it all at once. And I asked the church to forgive me for that because it wasn't according to the word. But my heart desire was this week to hunt down and search to make these things right. And even if I just had to pay one girl that I owed money to, I found her and asked her to forgive me. And just seeing the joy in her heart, in her face. But 10 years went by. Who would come to her and make that right?
And that
was a testimony for the Lord even today. That somebody can make something right.
Amen.
That word said. And then there was another man that many people know around Logan would say he's about every dollar. And would think that, you know, how could he ever understand? And I called him to try to meet with him, and God moved.
Hallelujah.
And he didn't even know how much I'd run to even start paying him. God moved on that man in the exact amount. He said, Kevin, he said, you just give me that, this amount. And he says, I forgive.
Amen.
Yeah, I forgive the rest of your debt.
Amen.
He said, when you see me in public, he says, I want you to know, you owe me no more.
Amen.
And it was a large debt. But what was more important to me is a man that so many people put him down. They'll say he owns half a Logan. But yet, he said, I was so thankful that you even called me. But God did that.
Amen.
It wasn't because of me. But I just appreciate Him so much, the love He's had in my life.
Amen.
And even when I failed Him,
praise
He's
God.
Been there to pick me up.
Hallelujah.
He's been there to provide. And I trust Him and I believe in Him. And I know that this word is going to be manifested.
Hallelujah.
This hour.
Amen.
I'm going to be one of those that word, exact every word in that Bible, will be alive in my life and manifested. Now, I
yes.
just ask the church to forgive me for that reproach.
Praise God.
Amen.
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 And He's forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
God is alive. Alive forevermore. If we only let Him live.
Amen.
Surrender all to Him. Amen. Yes, when we were dry, He filled me up. Oh my. Thank God for every time He's filled me up. Sing it again, that last verse. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, You pick me up. When I am dry, You fill me up. You are my all in all. Real reverently. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. Bless you. You're dismissed.